Welcome to the SOAP Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through the book of Exodus, and we are
so close to being done.
So close to being done.
Yeah, so we have 2 weeks to go.
Which is about the time that you should have taken them to get from Sinai to...
to Kadesh Barnea.
Right.
Well, as we see, last week was a train wreck. Not for us, but although right. We could have train wrecks.
Yeah.
But things shifted very quickly last week. And it really started out, Moses had an extended absence. And the people said, well, we don't know where he is. He could be dead. Maybe he's never coming back.
Maybe he went back down the other side of the mountain and just abandoned us.
Right. Either way, let's tell Aaron... because this is a good idea, that he needs to make us gods to go before us. And they never really said why. But that was the whole reason.
You've got to have something.
Yeah, right? we need an idol. We need a god, a representation.
And even better,
of that.
Aaron said,
that is a great idea. You guys need to get together all the gold and I'll make the idol. So he made a molten calf. And the rest of the week... last week was Israel understanding, this was not a good idea. This was not right. And they repented also, which was good.
Yeah.
Now they're getting ready to move, right? They've been on Mount Sinai for 9 months, close to a year or whatever. And they're getting ready to move into the promised land. So they got to get this whole thing settled first. And then they also have some building projects that they need to do.
Yeah.
Building, maybe not the right word, but small things that they need to make. But the big thing is God said that his presence would be with them as they move to the new location.
Right.
All right, so this week we're in chapters 35 through 39. I don't know if this is a good point or a bad point, but these are awfully close to the same chapters 25 through 31 that we've already read. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give you guys an excuse not to read it. You still need to read it. Of course, there's more details. Of course, they're seeing things from a different light. Now, the earlier chapters was Moses seeing the items that needed to be made in a vision from God. So it seems like he was up in heaven, either looking at them or, I don't know if he could touch or feel them.
Yeah, so he's up on the mountain, right? That was during his 40 days on the mountain. The book of Hebrews tells us that he was actually seeing what was actually in heaven, and God gave him a blueprint based on that. This was going to be, actually uses the word shadow. This is going to be sort of like an inferior version of the real thing.
Right.
And then, it's still supposed to be nice, but...
Right. And so now in these chapters, this is actually the people making them now.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. But before the work on the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the other things, Moses reminds the people of three things. And it seems a little out of place, so we also need to figure out why did he say these three things? The first one is the Sabbath is holy, and that's been a number of times in here, but you're right, they work for 6 days, you rest on the seventh, and the penalty is death if you work on the Sabbath. And Moses even adds, you can't even kindle a fire, which seems to be new information. And so the big question is, why now? And in my mind, they're getting ready to build God's house.
Yeah.
And it'd be very easy for somebody to say, I get it, it's the Sabbath, but this is God's house. So we should be doing this extra work.
Yeah.
And
let's get it done. God is blessing this. He's going to bless us. Why kindle a fire specifically? We have to melt the gold, melt the bronze and silver. We have to do all this stuff, keep it smooth while we're tamping it out, the whole thing. It just makes sense. Let's just get the project done, and then we'll be done with it.
Right, right. So it's a bad idea. and also, it seems to me, God gave this is, holy day is a Sabbath. He didn't say, except when you're working on my house.
Right.
Certainly Moses could have asked him, we got a clarification here.
Yeah.
But it didn't come off that way. It was just... we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. So it seems that if this did happen, God's tabernacle would have been profane, would have been sinned. Would God even have moved into it?
Yeah, I mean, he's still gracious. He's still,
right.
You know, forgiving. They would have been punished by death, apparently.
Right.
Right? And which would have put an end to working on the Sabbath pretty quickly, I would guess.
Right.
You know, right. So.
So
it would have happened only once.
Yeah. Well, there's two guys, and hopefully they wouldn't have been taken out. They got, you know, the main supervisors. There's also a free will offering.
Yeah.
For the work. Now, if we think about this work, there's the Ark. Just take one item, the Ark of the Covenant. It's a box. That box is overlaid with gold. And that box is going to have two angels on the top. So some really delicate work.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some money.
Yeah.
And it's going to take, you know, the right people to do this. Where are they going to get this from? If you think about it, these people... less than a year ago, they didn't have jobs. They were slaves.
It was a slave nation.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So,
you know, so where did they get all the stuff then? I mean, if right. I mean, it's, he's going to give all the these lists over the next couple of weeks of how much of everything. Where did they get all the stuff to do this?
Well, we need to remember when they left, when they were in Exodus, right?
Yeah,
when they actually exited. one of the things that God said was going to happen, and then we did see that was happening, on their way out, they asked the Egyptians for some of their wealth. And it seems that God did something to them, and they were able to, I think I used the word politely, pilferage. Or plunder. All of Egypt.
The Egyptians were just like, take whatever you want
and just go. Get out of here.
Get out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So they really did go out with a lot of wealth. A lot, not just you know, animals and stuff, but yeah, this gold and silver and
right. So basically, and it's basically all this stuff that they've been living off of. So that's kind of cool. And also, this free will offering is not a tax.
Right.
Right. You know, they could have said everybody owes 10% or, you know, everybody has to give X amount.
Yep.
It wasn't. It was a free will offering. So people gave what their heart.
Yep.
Their heart said.
And I love the fact that it reminds us of that multiple times. Moses is like, and this was a free will offering. This was a willing offering. We'll see the same thing. They volunteered their time. I mean, this is something that they wanted to do. And I really love that.
Yep. And then the last thing, Moses commissioned two men to do the work. Now, God had already picked these men. We learn about them either last week or the week before. Moses is publicly making them supervisors, which is good, right? I'm putting these two people up above. They're supervisors. You listen to them. They're going to supervise know, all this work. And their names were Bezalel, there's two L's in there.
Yeah, Bezalel.
Bezalel.
Okay. Yep.
and then Oholeb.
Yep.
Okay, that one was easier for me to talk about. So these two supervisors, first thing they're going to do, they're going to take an inventory, right? What's all the stuff coming in? And they realize quickly they already had enough material. We've never had this problem.
We don't need any more money. We don't need any more stuff. We don't need anything.
Yeah, we already have too much.
Yeah.
And the people were still bringing more. So they went to Moses and said, look, we have enough. So Moses, in turn, went to the people, thanked them for what they had, and said, you know, we don't need to have more.
Yeah.
And what a problem to have.
Yeah, right. Please stop giving. Yeah. That's something that we haven't said here at Oak Tree. Yeah. And
most churches
don't do that. Please stop giving. You have, and this goes back to that volunteering and that willing and this. I mean, it's not like, oh, you know, we've got to give more. You know, we need to talk to my wife. You know, it's, you know, how much are we going to give? This is like, oh, this is going to be for God. Let's just give it all, you know. And that's so cool to read that attitude sort of permeating through these
few chapters. And we are kidding a little bit, too. I mean, certainly we've had campaigns where there was specific amounts and, you know,
sure.
You reach it. And,
yeah.
And that happens. We're just kidding here.
But this idea of for Moses to have to actually go out there and say, please stop giving. You have given too much for this project. Please stop.
And that next guy in line. Same for the next one. So work actually begins on the tabernacle. Again, these two supervisors were in charge. There was also all these volunteers and skilled laborers.
Yeah.
And think about that. Where did these guys learn their trade? from the slave,
yeah,
being slaves, right? Some of these would have been skilled laborers,
yeah,
in there. So one of the first things they did is they made a frame for the tabernacle, and it seems that they're going to end up with 8 frames,
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
If you think about it, there would be the separations for the rooms.
Well, not only
and,
that,
and the,
but yeah, also just the walls. The
right,
walls are on the outside. This was going to have to be carried. And
right,
by the time you read through the curtains and everything, I mean, you have to, the rings, you take, it's like shower curtain, you know, you take them off and,
right,
you know.
Yeah, you fold that up, somebody carries that. Now you have the pole that the shower curtain hung on.
Right.
And you got to carry that too.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And all of this stuff. And it would have to be carried. And it has to be built in such a way, and I'm not saying Legos or anything, but it has to be built in such a way that it can be taken apart, put back together, taken apart, put back together every time they stop and restart.
And by the way, it's also covered in gold.
And it's covered in gold, which, you know.
Right. And then the base, there were 16 silver bases, too, that this thing sat on.
Yeah, the stand.
So the curtains we talked about before, there was colored yarn, there was twisted linen in there. The entrance was made, and there was embroidery with angels on there, too.
And I think some leather, too. So, I mean,
yeah, I think goat, this
is,
right?
Yeah, there, yeah. So this is going to be... Yep. Heavy by the time you put all these layers, yep, together. And
yeah, and there's gold, silver, and bronze in there. And Moses says they followed God's instructions to the letter.
Yeah.
And how cool is that?
Yeah.
So in chapter 37, they continue to build the items that'll be in the tabernacle and around the tabernacle. So they built the ark, the table, the lampstand, and the altar of incense.
Mm-hmm.
All of these were very similar, and we covered this when in those previous chapters, started with acacia wood, built what it needed to look like, covered it with gold,
yeah,
bronze, whatever it needed to be covered with. But there's some awesome detail in here.
Oh, too. Yeah, some really, really, yeah, intricate detail.
I've been harping on the ark. So if we just take the ark, again, it's a box, but it has a lid.
Mm-hmm.
And this lid must have really been special.
Yeah.
They called it the atonement lid. Again, there was 2 cherub. They were made of gold, and there's hammered metals on the end of the atonement lid. So when we know these angels are on the end, and then it says they're facing each other.
Yep.
So they're facing each other, and then they have their wings, and their wings seem to be up in the air high, yep, and then their heads are bowed looking at the lid.
The lid, yeah.
So we don't know exactly what it looked like, but that's a lot of detail.
It's a lot of detail, and you can sort of imagine it.
Yeah.
Now, let me interject something here, because this is one of those places where reading the original text behind our English translations gets really interesting.
Okay.
So in the translation that we're using here, the New English Translation, it says atonement lid. Most other major translations are going to say mercy seat. So New American Standard, ESV, the HCSB, King James, New King James, they all say mercy seat.
Okay.
What's interesting is that in Hebrew, there's actually a play on words going on here, because the Hebrew word is basically just the covering, and they put a covering on it, right? Here it's called the atonement lid. There it's called the mercy seat in these other translations, right, but it's just called the covering. But here's the play on words, because it was at this place. It's not just a lid. The lid is going to cover the box. But this is the Ark of the Covenant. This is where the atonement, the covering for the sin of the nation, was done every year, right?
Right.
When you put the blood of the goat on Yom Kippur, right? So there was a lid. It was just a lid, right? That covered the box, but it was also the place of covering.
Right.
And so there's
yeah, that is a cool play.
There's that play on, right, words going on there in Hebrew that we miss if it's just, well, it's the atonement lid, it's the mercy seat. I don't even know what that means. It's the place where,
yeah,
God covered their sin,
yeah,
until, yeah, Jesus came.
Nice. Very nice. Also, the lampstand in there has similar details from the idea of the branches and how the branches come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're actually saying, oh, on this branch is this kind of flowers, and on this branch is another kind of flower. So not only are they making flowers out of gold, they're making, I don't even know, rose petals,
yeah,
and other kinds of flowers.
Buds, blossoms.
Yeah.
And it says from the same piece. Right. So it's not like, okay, well I'm going to make this over here and weld it on. It's like they're actually putting it
coming
into
out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That ends this reading this week, right?
Yeah.
So, so a little shorter than we've been normal. That doesn't mean you don't read it. Continue to read it. Pick out these pieces. Look up these pieces. There's some marrow in here that you can get.
Well, there are a lot of places online where you could even do an online search and say, yep. Okay, you know,
what did it look like
based yep. on, you know, with you know, AI right now, you could probably say based on the descriptions in Exodus, you know, these chapters, what did these things look like? And it may be able to give you some of that.
I was just thinking of 3D rendering too,
yeah.
you know, being able to walk through, because basically it was, you know, using the cloth to make a room. So yep. you got the outside and then it's separating the inside too. And there has to be some way to have a doorway that.
Right.
That can be closed, but yet be open too.
Yeah. So outside of the big tent, then the courtyard, and then we, you know, get increasingly tighter.
Yeah, even that. Right. I was thinking just the tabernacle piece itself, but there was a whole courtyard there too.
Huge courtyard.
That's next week.
Big courtyard.
We haven't made it out there.
But yeah. So three chapters this week, three chapters next week will finish us off here in the book of Exodus. Yeah. But some really cool detail here. It's one of those things where we get to see in 1 Corinthians, God is called a God of order, not a God of chaos. And here we get to see some really cool order, really cool detail. So hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Yeah, put those in the comments or send them over this way. If you find some really good pictures and say, oh, this is so cool, send those over too. Great. We'd love to see what you find as you do your own study in this area. See you next time.
Bye.